Hi, my name is Crystal Pierre. I am a master's student at the University of Florida with Dr. Mulvaney. And I'm going to talk to you about foliar fertilizer as a tool to accelerate peanut seed maturity. So before I get into it, let me give you a little background. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with peanuts, but peanuts is a leguminous crop that's indeterminate. And the particular and cool thing about a peanut is it produces its fruits underground, as you can see. All the seeds are produced underground. So after fertilization, the flower produces a peg that burrows into the ground. So I think that's pretty cool. These are the three nutrients that I'm going to look. Being a leguminous plant, it produces its own nitrogen, which is important for the greenness of the plant. Phosphorus is important for ATP, and boron is important in peanuts because it prevents what we call hollow heart, as you can see, which is basically rotting from the inside. So being an indeterminate crop, maturity level is important. Not being able to see the fruits mature, you kind of have to estimate when to harvest. There's been several ways out there to determine it, including days after planting, which is basically just keeping track of how many days your crop's been in the ground. Usually harvest is around 130 to 140 days. So what usually happens is when it gets close to that, farmers can just go ahead and harvest, or what we would prefer them to use is the maturity profile board, which consists of taking out a sample of your crop and taking out the exocarp, which thankfully nature lets us see that when you remove the outside layer, and the more mature a pod is, the darker the mesocarp is. So from there you can place it on the board and that will give you a distribution. Normally it's a normal distribution if you've had a normal year. And from that distribution you can determine when to harvest. So that's really important, certainly if you're looking at peanut seeds. Another way that can be determined is using adjusted growing degree days, which is basically just keeping track of the growing degree days with taking into account the soil moisture. So we applied a nutrient foliarly. So normally in peanuts, foliar applications are usually done when there is a deficiency, mostly in boron, and you also have to be careful when you're applying foliar nitrogen because it can cause leaf burns. So why did we think of applying foliar nutrients to peanuts? Well, one of our extension agents has been reporting that some of the growers with under irrigation circumstances have seen an improved profile, so more towards your mature pods than others compared to other irrigated fields. So we wanted to see if that held true. So our hypothesis was by applying nutrients at flowering, we could increase the number of viable pods. So the objective was to see if the treatments would have an improved maturity profile and yield. We had three different site years, and disregard the ongoing, I actually had time to finish analyzing before coming here. We had three different site years, two in Jay in 2016 and 17, and one in Citra, Florida in 2016. It was designed as a randomized complete block with a 4x2 factorial. All our plots received two applications of nutrients. At each application, they received either 10 kilograms of nitrogen, 1 kilogram of phosphorus, or 0.3 kilograms of boron. The control did not receive anything. We had two different dig dates to see if that would be the profile would be affected, one at early and one at optimum. We also made sure to collect NDVIs and OGIP for OGIP helps us determine the photosynthesis 2 efficiency. So basically, at first flower, around 40 days after application, we went in and we applied our nutrients to each of our fields. The next morning, we collected OGIP data as well as 100 second nodal leaves per plot. Those samples were then washed, dried, and tested for the nutrients content using the ICAP method. 2 weeks later, the same thing happened. And about 30 days after that, we did a third OGIP reading. Then at at both digs, early and optimum, we dug and we had two winrows. One of the winrows was used exclusively for yield, and the second one was, we collected about 200 pods and determined the maturity of it. Any pods that were in the brown-black category of the profile board were considered mature, and all the other ones were considered immatures. To take out the human factor of it, we also used the digital imaging to determine the percent of mature pods from Dr. Rowland's lab. All data were analyzed using SAS at a 95% confidence interval. So here's what we found. EDVI had no effects by treatment. All our pods reacted the same over the growth seasons. We did not see a treatment. Any of our nutrient plots was not different from our control. Same can be said for the OGIP. As you can see, there's some differences, but as it wasn't consistent, we didn't think it was significant. So this is for our the results from our leaf, the leaves we collected after each application. So on the y-axis, you have the concentration. On the x-axis, you have the different applications. Remember, each of them received two applications. So the black is the first application, and the gray line is the second application. As you can see, for nitrogen, we don't see any significant differences between the nitrogen plots and the control or the other plots, except in 2017, which is this year, where it was evident in the leaf. And that might be due to the fact that nitrogen tends to relocate within 48 hours to the fruiting area. So by the time we went in 24 hours later, since our rates weren't too big, it might have already translocated to the fruiting zone. The same can be said for phosphorus. As you can see, our phosphorus plots was not really different from our other plots. Boron, on the other hand, is very evident that we applied boron, as boron takes about 13 days to translocate from the leaf to the rest of the plot. So this is the percent of mature pod that we determined using the profile board. On the x-axis, you have the percent maturity, and on the y-axis, it's separated by the early dig dates, which are the first four, and the late dig dates. As you can see, there's not really a difference between the different application and the control. There is a difference for most of them, by early versus late, but not by treatments. Same can be said for the digital imaging. And actually, this year, there wasn't any difference even by early versus late digging. As for the yields, we did not see any difference between the different treatment and the controls. There was a difference between the early versus late, which was expected as we want to dig at an optimum. But between the control and the different treatments, there's not really a difference. Except in 2016, at the early dig dates, the phosphorus did show a difference between the control and the phosphorus of about 500 kilograms per hectare. But that, again, is at the early dig date. By the time it got to the optimum dig date, there was no difference. And you really don't want to harvest too early. So to conclude, there wasn't really any difference between our foliar treatments. So even though anecdotal evidence have said there is a difference, we have not been able to find it. Maybe it's because they actually use blends of foliar treatments, so that would be the next step, would be to try to, instead of just going with simple nutrients, but to actually test with whatever the growers are using themselves. I would like to thank my committee, for my co-author and our sponsors, as well as all the help I got, because without them, none of this would have been possible. Any questions?
On your voter applications you made, Tina is very waxy cute. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that those products that you apply just concentrate on the leaf and different things will be through the lander?
I think so, because as I showed earlier, at least the boron, you definitely could see there was an increase, and afterwards you could see the nutrients that were on top, and later on they kind of like dissipated. I did observe some leaf burning from the urea.
Another question. Mm-hmm. Are you planning to extend this trial?
I've concluded with this one, but we are talking about doing it with nutrients from that growers are normally
using. There's alternate sources you can use that would help move the product through there, like inositols or products that would probably help move the product in the plant and translocate much faster, and I think it's the difference.
Okay. Well, we were thinking of those, but we wanted to start with the basics and see if that made a difference, because we really didn't find anything on of applications in peanuts. Yes. I'm sorry?
How is it measured?
We had the, I'm blanking on the name, the OS3. Well, we had a portable fluorescent meter that was, that we collected all the information at night, at dawn. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name right now.
Any other questions?